Okay, everyone. Erev Tov, Erev Tov. A little bit late, I apologize. I don't know when we're going to be able to get to Shira a little bit earlier. 9 o'clock at night is a little bit late to start learning, so that's why the Shirim are a little bit shorter. Rav Avram Pam, Zechet Tzadav Kaddish Levracha, the great Rosh Hashiva from Tor Vadas, one of the great tzaddikim of the past generation, Rav Avram Pam Zatzal often would point out that the reason, one of the reasons, of course, why we learn Parshas HaShavua each and every week is because we know that in every Parsha, of course, there are very, very vital lessons to how to live a Torah true life. He says that's one of the things. Whenever we learn the Parshas HaShavua, we have to be looking for lessons from the Parsha, how it should guide us to live. And he said, when it comes to Parshas Korach every year, it's very obvious. There is one major theme in this Parsha. He says a theme that we have to review and review and review. And the theme is actually a pasuk in this week's Parsha. In Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Hey, V'lo yechich Korach v'cha adoso. The pasuk says, don't be like Korach and his whole chevra, his whole group that was together with him. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Amid Aleph, actually suggests that it's an Isser Daraisa, that anyone who persists in a machlokes, anyone who adds fuel to the fire of a fight, such a person is violating this Isser Daraisa of Lo Siach Korach V'Chadoso, that we shouldn't be like Korach and his chevra there. But when we look at Parshas Korach each and every year, what we have to do is we have to try and refine our understanding of who Korach was, where did he go wrong, and what lessons are there for us. And you know, this year for the first time, I was thinking a lot about not Korach, but the sons of Korach, the sons of Korach. And you know what? Let's start with that. I have permission from the person to share this maisa. Last week, I officiated at a levaya. I officiated at a funeral for a person who was in his 90s, a person who was a gavra rabba, a very distinguished individual of a very well-known family, a person who was about staka. His whole family is a very well-known yadua family to so many, certainly here in New Jersey, and really, I think, beyond. And his son sent something at the levaya that really, really struck me. And at first, I was a little taken aback that he said it, ad kedei kach, that before I'm sharing with this with you tonight, I called the son to ask his permission to share. He said that his father was in business with other family members, some businesses that they had together, and the businesses didn't go well. The businesses fell apart. The investments they had didn't end amicably. And his father had an argument with siblings, with other very, very close family members. And it wasn't pleasant. But his father told his son and the other children, this has nothing to do with you and your cousins, with you and your uncles and your aunts. He says, you guys are not part of this. This is my issue with them, not your issue with them. You must maintain your relationships. And my argument, my fight with him has nothing to do with you. And I was so taken aback by that, because you should know, the Chafetz Chaim writes that in his Sefer. The Chafetz Chaim writes it in actually the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, in Shar HaZechira, Perek Yud Zayin. The Chafetz Chaim writes that children have to avoid becoming enmeshed and entangled in their parents' machloksen. And he says, don't think, he goes, it's a Yetzirah to think that, oh, it's kibud av v'em to stick up for my parents, to get involved in the fight. He goes, it's not true. And you know what one of the rayas that Korach has? A Yalkut Shimoni in this week's Parsha. We know we have Prakim of Tehillim, Lam Nam Seach Levnei Korach Mizmor. They're most famous, perhaps, because of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, right before we blow shofar, we say, Lav Natseach Levnei Korach Mizmor. We say a perek of Tilm that was originally said by the B'nai Korach, Korach's sons. Korach's children, what? Korach went down. Korach had a very, very unsavory ending. What happened to Korach's children? So the Yalkut Shimoni in this week's Parsha tells us that Korach's children were actually caught with this same Shaila that the Chafetz Chaim was talking about. They said their father, and we're going to talk about who Korach was, their father wasn't a slav. So Kotzker Rebbe, the Helga Kotzker, Zechusi Ginolenu, said, don't think, he used to tell Chassidim, don't think Korach was some schnook from the shuk. I don't think he used that alliteration, but he said, don't think Korach is some lowlife from the marketplace, some Joe Schmo. He said, Korach was an Adam Gadol Adam Od. He said, Korach was a person of great spiritual stature. So you have the children of Korach that look to their father, a person of great spiritual stature, who was revered by so many of the Jewish people. That's how this even became an issue. That's how 250 people who were Rosh Sanhedrius, who were great people, people worthy of being leaders of courts, became followers of Korach, right? And Korach's sons are looking at their father, arguing against Moshe Rabbeinu. What do? They didn't know what to do. And here came Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to talk to the father. What do? They don't stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu. They see the father sitting there, not standing up. And the Medrash tells us, at the last minute, Korach's sons decide to stand up. They said, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we not stand up for Rabban Shel Yisrael, the greatest teacher, the greatest... How do we not stand up for Moshe? And at the last moment, Korach's sons stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash says it was at that moment that they were koneh olam haba. They were in danger of losing everything. And that's why this comes up in the last parak of Sanhedrin. Lo siach Korach v'chadasa. Don't be like Korach and his group. Because the last parak of Sanhedrin talks about who has a chelik in olam haba, who doesn't. And they discuss Korach there. Did he get a chelik? Did he lose his chelik in olam haba? This Medrash says, this Yalkut Shimoni, that the B'nai Korach were mamish about to go leber shachas. They were going to go down to the pit of destruction, to Gehenim, with their father. But it was at that moment that they said, this is a fight our father has with Moshe. We have to show kavod to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they stood up. And Ishtar, I was so impressed. This fellow, that he was maspid his father, that he saw the greatness of his father, and that his father even told him, my fight has nothing to do with you and your siblings, between you and your uncles, between you and your cousins. Please don't get involved in my fights. And it really shows what a gavur rabba his father was. It really does. Because so often, and we're going to get to this, so often when we get involved in machlokes, it's about our very sense of self. It's about being right. It's not about the issue. Very quickly, the issue becomes the secondary. It's not about the essential issue that the argument was about. Right? Because we know every vikuach, every debate doesn't become a machlokas, doesn't become a conflict. And so you should know, it was so interesting though, that when I called this person today to ask him, can I say over in the shir, because mamish, what I want to talk about tonight, the B'nai Korach, this lesson of the Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Shmiras Halosh, and mamish, I thought of what you said about your father. He said, Rabbi, you should just know that after the Hesped, my cousins came up to me, meaning his uncle's sons and daughters, and said, you should know, our fathers told us the same exact thing. Our fathers told us the same exact thing, that the fight we have with your uncle, has nothing to do with you. Please don't get involved. You have to respect your uncle. You should show kavod to your uncle and love to your uncle and to your cousins. And they were Adayom Hazeh very close. The grandfather is actually in Altamir. The grandfather learned in Mir in Europe in the early 20th century. So it was a family of great Torah learning and scholarship, and obviously Midos Tovos. But when we talk about a machlokas, when we talk about Korach, we have to talk again. First Yisod is about the B'nai Korach. And Korach, whereas Korach maybe didn't tell his sons to be Mechabed Moshe Rabbeinu, but Chafetz Chaim sees from this that the B'nai Korach acted correctly. It's not kibud av ve'em for a child to get involved in the machlokas of a parent. And so often when we talk about fights, we look for everyone to validate our opinion. We look for everyone to join our side. The Chafetz Chaim looks at this lesson about the B'nai Korach to say that we have to try and avoid sides in a machlokas, even when it's someone that you're mechuyev midaraisa to show kavod to. We're obligated midaraisa to show kavod to our parents, but that doesn't mean to get involved in their machlokas. And think about what the teaching from this is, Chevra. When your friend gets involved in a machlokas, when your neighbor gets involved in a machlokas, Think about this lesson from the Chafetz Chaim. If children are not allowed to get involved in the machlokas of a parent, it's not a din in kibbut av ve'ein. So mehechete say that we should get involved in a machlokas, any machlokas, certainly that doesn't directly affect us, that we're not involved in. And so that's the first yesod that I wanted to talk about tonight. That there's so many machloksim that people bring up. And again, unfortunately, because a bar machlokes, a bar plugta, someone who's involved in the machlokes, you know, so their very sense of self often is, they feel is being devalued and attacked. And so they need people to come to their side to bolster their sense of self that I'm right and that this is a fight that I'm correct in. And the Chafetz Chaim says, don't let yourself get pulled into machlokes. Stay away. Stay away. So this is the first lesson because, why is this the first lesson? Because so often machlokes that balloon and explode, it draws in so many people that have no shaychus to it. They're not relevant to it at all. But the people who are in the trenches fighting, they want to try and pull everyone in. The Chafetz Chaim says, don't let yourself get pulled in. Don't let yourself get pulled in. Even a child for a parent is not supposed to get pulled in. And Maitzo Shea Kachaya, this is something that mamish, that happened just last week. But when we talk about Korach himself, trying to analyze Korach, so we have to know, as the Kotzker said, Korach wasn't Stamazai, a schnook from the shuk. He wasn't some low life, you know, that hung out in dirty, disgusting places. Korach was one of the nobility of the Jewish people. He was one of the leaders of Bnei Levi. He was from Kahas. He was from pious people. He was descendant from the pious of the pious. Kahas, Levi. The Medrash says, Kahas, Chasida, Levi, Chasida, meaning these were incredibly pious people. That's who Korach came from. And the Yismach Yisrael, the Hilga Alexander, we're going to tell a story about, the Hilga Alexander, Rabbi Yisrael Danziger, Zuchusigin Aleinu, he points out, Yismach Yisrael, how did this machlokas even take off? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And granted, obviously, when you look at the context of the parsha, you look how Baloscha leads to Shlach, and Shlach leads to Korach, and Rashi in the beginning of the parsha ties all these parshios together. But how did it take off? Zakti Yismach Yisrael d'Alexander. Because Korach was a tzaddik. Korach was an unbelievable person. He was a person, as we said, of great spiritual stature. And so, meaning, Stamazai Shnuk would argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, Dosan and Aviram, the troublemakers of the Dordea, right? They're making trouble in Egypt. They're making trouble in the desert. They're the ones that left out the mud. They're constantly chepering Moshe. No one took Dosan and Aviram seriously. They never had followers. Because they were nudniks. Everyone knew they were the schnooks and the shooks. But Korach! Korach was a tzaddik! Korach was nobility of the Jewish people! And that's how he has 250 members of Bnei Yisrael who were Rashi Sanhedrius, were worthy of being leaders in their own right, all following him. And that's how the machlokis even gets off the ground. But the Igra, the Kala, the Bnei Yisoscher, the Hilga Dinavar, Zechusikin Aleinu, he says that this teaches us the dangers of good intentions. We've spoken about it before in Shul 2 weeks ago in Parshas Baloscha that intentions, unfortunately, are not really what we're measured by. We're measured by our deeds. We're measured by our actions, not by our intentions. You could have the best of intentions, unfortunately, it doesn't lead to good things. But the Igra Dekala, the Bnei Yischasar, points out that Parshas Korach is a cautionary tale about good intentions, the danger of good intentions. That sometimes something starts with really good intention, and the Bnei Yischasar says, Korach, again, this is against, I understand this is against Rishonim, this is against Rashi, but the Bnei Yischasar suggests that Korach really initially was motivated by great intentions, that it was really about being able to serve God and an intense yearning to serve God in an even greater way than he already was. He wanted to bring karbanos, the Igor de Kala says, the B'nai Sassar says. And he wanted that sense of hiskarvus, meaning a carbon is brings a person close. He just wanted to get it closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all he wanted to do. The problem was, Zokt the Igor de Kala, who is the B'nai Sassar, the Dinever, it's his Parsha Sefer, he says that this Irur, this argument that he brings against Moshe Rabbeinu, unfortunately, even though he was motivated in the deepest place by yearning to come closer to Hashem, he says he didn't realize where this was going to take him. And ultimately, that this great desire he had, maybe there was a spark of Tov, but it quickly was taken over and co-opted by the Yetzer Hara. And even though in the kernel maybe there was some good, and that's why some say that in fact Korach's children did live, the spark of Korach continued through his children. And Korach's children are some of the authors of Tehillim. We sing their praises, Ad Hayom Hazeh, of the B'nai Korach Lomeisu. But Korach, unfortunately, with the good Machshavas, was brought down. And this, of course, is a cautionary tale for all of us. And we know that Parshas Korach always falls out towards the beginning of Tammuz. It always falls out towards the beginning of Tammuz. We know when we enter into the month of Tammuz and Av, you know, these are months, two of the worst months for the Jewish people. These are months that Esav has shlita, has control over significant portions of both of these months, of Tammuz and Av. And we know, of course, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes, one of the most famous Gemaras in Yuma for the Lom de Daf Hayomi, is that the second Beis HaMikdash, people were learning Torah, people were doing Chesed, there was Tefillah. But the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And Zakt, the famous introduction of the Netziv to his Perush on Chumash HaMikdavar, the Netziv explains that when we talk about Sinas Chinam, destroying the second Beis HaMikdash, again, following the unfortunate example of Korach, it wasn't because the lowlifes had Sinas Chinam. Jews who were learning Torah, Jews who were doing Chesed, had Sinas Chinam. And even think about Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Kamtza was a very well-known gevir. Some say Kamtza was, he had all the rabbis by Yisuda because he supported so much Torah. He was a well-known Baal Chesed Kamtza. People of great stature, unfortunately, were brought low by Sinas Chinam, by Machlokes, by fights. And the Kosov Rebbe, the first Kosov Rebbe, the Avas Shalom of Kosov, he said, the famous Chazal, famous Gemara that Rashi quotes, he interprets differently. Kosha le predaschem, talking about Shmini Atzeres, why there's a yontif of Shmini Atzeres tacked onto Sukkis. Hashem says, Kosha le predaschem, your departure is very hard for me. So you know what? Don't leave. Stay in Yerushalayim one more day, right? So Hashem gives us a yontif of Shmini Atzeres. But Zok the Kosover, the Ava Shalom, Kosha alai predaschem. You know how the Kosover sees it? He says, it's painful, kasha predaschem, when you separate, preda means to separate, kasha predaschem, alai, that's how he reads it, that it's so painful to me that you divide and you split from each other, alai, over me, Hashem says. The Kosover, again, one of the early Hasidic tzaddikim, again, you're talking about earlier part of the 19th century, when the wars against Hasidus were still vehement and at times violent, right? The Kosover saw, Kosha alai predaschem, that it's Kosha alai predaschem. It's so painful, it's so hard for Hashem, when alai predaschem, that you split from each other because of me, alai, over matters connected to me. And this is how some reread the Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak of Avos. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi gives us advice that you should be mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchara. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says. You should always make the calculation. Yeah, there's always a hefsed mitzvah. You always have to give up sleep for a mitzvah, give up money for a mitzvah, give up time for a mitzvah. But always account, always make the cheshbon, always try and weigh out the loss that's going to go into doing the mitzvah, corresponding to the great reward you do for the mitzvah. But the some svarim, they bring down an unfortunate take on this, and they say that you have to make a cheshbon of schar mitzvah keneged hefseda. Sometimes it's different. Yeah, the reward you get for a mitzvah, you have such great intentions, you want to serve Hashem with the greatest of intentions, too, to great. Sometimes the schar mitzvah keneged hefseda. Sometimes the reward you're going to get for the mitzvah, is it really worth the hefsed? Is it really worth the loss that it's going to cause? You know, they say there's a Hasidish mashal that gives an example of this, of when people hold on to things. And what's so interesting in the Sefer Mayan HaNitzchi, a contemporary Hasidish Sefer that I'm very fond of, he says that this all happens when people make the classic mistake, that I often talk about, of exchanging the tefil for the ikar. I always say, maybe it was because I taught Hilchas Brachas for 19 years in Berea High School, that we always have to make sure to remember what's Iker and Tafel. There's a lot of Hilchas Brachas, Iker and Tafel. What bracha do you make on the cereal? So many different ingredients. What's the primary? What's the secondary? But also, it's really the secret of life. Always remembering what's Iker and what's Tafel. What's primary and what's secondary. And the Sefer Mayan HaNitzchi says so often, the fights that could take place over Mili the Kedusha, over holy things. We're forgetting the Iker and we're holding on to what's secondary. He gives a famous Hasidish mashal of a guy who heard how chashuv it is to go to mikveh before davening every morning, this Hasidish minag. So this guy takes on himself, he's going to start going to mikveh every morning before Shachris. And then he realizes, oh, you know, what's the holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, he's going to go to mikvah 100 times before Yom Kippur. Al pi Kabbalah, to go will dunk 84 times, 105 times. He's going to dunk 100 times before he goes daven Yom Kippur morning. And he thinks he's doing the greatest thing. He's doing an Isser Daraisa, going to mikvah Yom Kippur morning. Right? And that's what the same thing is happening here. That yes, there might be great machshavas. What might be at the core is a little bit of kedusha, but very quickly the Yetzer Hara comes and gobbles up that kedusha, and corrupts it, and is metame it, and really totally contaminates it, and it loses any vestige of holiness. It's totally, totally taken over by the Yetzer Hara, by tumma, by the Sitra Achra, by the other side. And this is something that when we talk about Machlokas, you know, this year has been so painful, been so, so painful, talking about Machlokas and so many kihilos, so many struggles of people that had different perspectives, you know, how to be mityaches to COVID. And Everyone had their doctors that they were following. Everyone had, and you could find shittas all over the place. You could find different opinions everywhere. But there was such a lack of civility, Nebuch, Hashem Yirachim, and how people related to each other over this. And it caused some cracks, some fissures, just speaking to rabbinic colleagues all across the country. It caused some real deep divides, real deep divides. And I hope, you know, when we read a Parashas Korach, we have to hear the messages. Rav Pam said, it's calling out to us. Lo siach Korach v'chadoso. Don't be like Korach and his Eda. And I know the hour is late, but one more nakuda. Again, the first point is, as we said, don't get involved in fights that are not yours. Stay far away. We learned that from the Yalkut Shimoni in this week's Parsha, that the Bnei Korach, Korach's sons, stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu when he came to see the father. And because of that, it saved them. It mamash saved them. And the Chafetz Chaim says, children should never think, chas v'shalom, that they should get involved in their parents' fights. It's not a din kibud avein. That's the Yetzer Hara, again, co-opting halacha, telling you, oh, it's holy to fight. It's for your parents. No, Chafetz Chaim says it's not true. And so if it's not true for your parents, it's not true for anyone. Stay far, far away from machloksin. Meaning these fights that have lost any semblance of Kedusha. The second, The second yisod that we're talking about here is understand that a lot of these fights start with good kavanas. They start with the best of intentions. Korach wasn't a lowlife. He was a tzaddik. He was a very, very righteous, spiritual, holy person. And even he, unfortunately, went off the rails due to machlokas and the fights that were going on. But now there's a third yisod that I want to talk about. That sometimes when we get into an argument with someone, sometimes when we really are mistreated by another person, we should try not to let ourselves get drawn in. There's a very holy Jew who lived in Springfield for many years. He passed away. His name was Abba Prower. Abba Prower, Zichrono Livracha, was a Holocaust survivor, a very, very special person. One of his favorite lines, he always used to tell me, Rabbi, it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. He had situations in his life that he shared with me. He just walked away from machlokas, refused to get involved in things, whether it's business, familial. He just walked away. He said, it takes two to tango. He attributed his shalom bias with his Eshes Chayil for decades, decades, decades. That it takes two to tango. It was a yisod of life, he taught me. When people try to get our to raise our ire, to really, people attack us. So we have to try to the best of our ability to remember the lesson of Parshas Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu, and read the Parsha carefully. It's only after he tries everything that he even gets angry and he says to Hashem, Hashem, enough. You have to take them down. He goes to them. He calls them. They will come. He goes to them. He pleads with them. Moshe Rabbeinu. The Anuf Mikaladim humbling himself to these people. And they're doing everything, Dafka, to stir Moshe up, and he won't let it. Finally, he realizes that what's at stake, as Rav Soloveitchik says, you know, in one of his famous drushes about Parshas Korach, what's at stake is the future of the Jewish people. What's at stake is the very essence of the halachic system and of Mesorah. And it has to be brought down. Moshe understands this. But he doesn't let himself be drawn in right away. Read the Parsha. And remember we said about the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe. So in his Sefer, he talks a lot about his father, the first Alexander Rebbe, his father, Rabbi Chiel, Zichus Yagin Aleinu. And there's one famous Maisa that he says over that I want to share with you, that'll be the last thing we share tonight. Apologize again for the late time. But he said that there was one time that his father needed a favor from another Rebbe. His father needed a favor. Alexander Chassidus was maybe the second biggest Hasidus in Poland at the time. It was massive, massive. And he sent his son, Rabbi Yisrael, the Yismach Yisrael, and other Gaboyim of his, like very, very distinguished members of Alexander Hasidus, to go to this other Rebbe and to put in their request. So when they get there, they expect, you know, son of Alexander Rebbe and Choshev Hasidim of Alexander, they're there. They wait with everyone else. There's no cutting the line for them. Okay, all right. We sit b'soch ha'mi'anochi yoshevus. We're with the hamonam. We're sitting with everyone else. Okay. They go in to talk to the Rebbe. The Rebbe treats them coldly. The Rebbe doesn't even show them. I mean, this is Alexander Rebbe's son. This is Alexander Rebbe's moschoshev chassidim. And when they make the request, he flatly rejects it. No. Totally dismisses them. The Yismach Yisrael was furious. He was furious, 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 furious. He was livid. He went back to his father. His father said, okay, calm down, calm down. His father said, don't worry. It was barely a year later when this other Rebbe needed something from the Alexander Rebbe. And this other Rebbe sent his son and a couple of his Chashev Chassidim. And when they're on the way, and they send the request, the Alexander Rebbe, Rabbi Chiel, he makes sure, he tells his Gabbah, make sure as soon as they come, you let me know. They don't wait, they come right in. And it's lo and behold, the Yismach Yisrael sees this, that his father gives this instruction, and as soon as this other Rebbe's son and Chassidim come, the Gabbai ushers them in, the Rebbe's waiting for them by his door, he personally, Mamish, seats them, he personally pours them drinks and offers them food, showing them such warmth, such ahava. And then, when they actually make the request, which wasn't a simple thing, was not an easy thing to grant, Alexander Rebbe said, I'm going to do it for you. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And the Yismach Yisrael, when they left, was even more livid than when he came back from that other Rebbe a year earlier. He said, have you forgotten how that Rebbe treated me and your Chassidim and treated you? That his son comes now? And this is what you do? You show him such kavod and you show him such respect? So the Lashon that the Alexander Rebbe said to his son, this is what the Yismach Yisrael writes, this is what my father said to him. He said, better they learn from me how to be a good yid and a mensch than I learn from them how to be a boor and a ruffian. He said, listen, what do you want? What do you want? Better they learn from us what it is to be a hartzig erlich yid than we should learn from them what it is to be an Am Haaretz and a Rasha. And the Yismach Yisrael said that stayed with him, that made such a roshim, such a deep impression from his father, that this could have been a melchama, this could have been a war between two chassidises. The Yismach Yisrael refused to let that happen. His father refused to let that happen, Rabbi Chiel of Alexander. He refused. Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib from the OU, he said over that one time he was giving a talk to, like a shir, to a group of, very eclectic group, had a lot of Hasidim that were there. And he told over this maisa. And he said after, an old yid came up to him, he said, Rabbi, I know who that other Rebbe was that the Alexander had this with. He says, I'm an Einikel from that other Rebbe. I'm a direct descendant from that other Rebbe. He says, and I want you to know the rest of the story that you don't know. It's a family tradition that when the son of this other Rebbe came back and told his father that the Alexander Rebbe, what he did for him, and how the Alexander Rebbe is going to do what they asked from him, he said the other Rebbe broke down crying, and he said the Alexander Rebbe is someone that we have to learn Musa from. The Alexander Rebbe is a real mensch that we have to learn from. And just to end, that there's so many times that we could be drawn into fights. It's one of the hardest things not to be. But this is a lesson. This is a lesson of Parshas Korach. From Moshe Rabbeinu. Even when they want to fight, even though they're trying to try to keep your cool. Try to always maintain a certain equilibrium that you don't lose yourself. Obviously, there's certain times that you have to act. It's lasos Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately realizes what's at stake. He says, Hashem, okay, now you got to wipe them out, Hashem. It's enough. But up until that point, Moshe's trying and trying and trying. And this is the third yisod tonight. The yisod that even when people wrong us, and even when we have disputes and debates, don't let them become conflicts. Don't let them become poisonous machlokas that can mamish burn everything up. And so I hope, as Rav Palm said, that when we read Parshas Korach, when we learn Parshas Korach, this clear, it's such a clear, obvious lesson what we have to take from it. And again, that Parshas Korach is always at the beginning, right around the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz. It's obvious how it's calling to us, the lessons that we have to work on, and especially after a year that the Jewish people were battered with machlokas, battered, viciously battered around with machlokas. Hashem should help us. We should daven for siyata d'shmaya, for help, that we shouldn't be drawn into these things. But as the Netziv writes in his Akdama to the Hamikdavar, to his commentary on Chumash, that we can follow the Avos HaKadoshim and be yisharim, be straight in how we deal with people. And Be'ez Hashem will be zocha, that the Tisha B'Av Be'ez Hashem this year will be the great Yom Tov that we're all waiting for it to be. Have a good night, everyone.